You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very, very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. Come back each and every night. If you miss a single second of any Kevin Smith Show, you're going to miss a universe of information. A couple of interesting emails here, and I want to respond to these. The first one says, "Dear Kevin, I sometimes send you email that gets answered by Bob Brady, your producer. It would be nice if we could see him sometime, Todd in British Columbia." Well, Todd, I don't want to disappoint you. This is what our notorious producer looks like. I caught him just before showtime, and I think he was decked out in his finest Arizona fashions when he realized, as he turned around, that the camera was pointed at him. He got up and ran. This guy is absolutely, positively camera shy. But there he is. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Mr. Bob Brady. All right, let's hear it for Bob. All right, we have another email here from, I don't know if, maybe you know, I've never seen this name before, so I don't know how to pronounce it. It's M-I-C-H-A-L-L, so I don't know if that's Michael, Michal, I don't know. So pardon me for not knowing how to pronounce your name, but from Virginia, writes, "Mr. Smith, I'm a regular listener, never miss a show. I'm studying communications and hope to host a talk show someday. I have to say, you are my inspiration, and I'd like to get your opinion on something." Well, first, thank you. It's always gratifying if someone thinks I am an inspiration. But then he goes on, "Should I go to work for a radio station or go independent like you? It seems like independent is the way to go. At least that way you don't have to put up with bosses." Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but you're always going to have bosses. And let me share with you my two bosses. That is the lovely and wonderful Mrs. Smith and Derek, my son. Now, they are my bosses. If you don't think they are my bosses, let me not get up and go to work one day. You will hear all the way from Thailand. You will hear what I get to hear. I think it's Michael. I'll say Michael. Michael, you're always going to have bosses. And I went independent because I had no choice. When I started in Kosovo, and there were no English-speaking radio stations in Kosovo at the time. maybe there are now, but I started in Kosovo, so I had to start independent because I was speaking English. All right, we're going to be back right after this break. I hope you'll be back as well, and we are going to talk about some interesting stuff here tonight. All right, we're going to talk about a couple of different things here tonight. Let me get the microphone up where you can hear it. That might actually be a wise idea. We'll talk about a couple of different things here tonight, and it will be somewhat open line, sort of a directed topic open line. There's something in the news that you may or may not have heard about, but it is pretty important. A couple of really big satellites collided in space 500 miles above Siberia. Did you hear about this? One of them was an Iridium commercial satellite launched in 1997. The other was a Russian satellite launched in 1993 and believed to be non-functioning. According to a NASA spokesman, the Russian satellite was out of control. And that's according to Mark Matney, a orbital debris scientist at Johnson Space Center in Houston. Now, the reason this is pretty important is because it splattered debris all out into space. And already they're tracking around 17,000 little bits of space debris all out there in space. And they have to do that because they do, from time to time, pose a possible hazard to the space shuttle and to the International Space Station. And so they have to keep track of where all this stuff is and try to maneuver through it or around it. And, you know, you sort of have to wonder, how is it these satellites got together? How did they collide? But anyway, they did. And they were pretty big, I think around 2 tons each. The risk of damage to the space shuttle is considered to be minimal. And to the space station, because they are orbiting around 270 miles lower, closer to Earth, than all of this debris. According to Nicholas Johnson at the Houston Space Center, the risk of damage from this collision is greater to the Hubble Space Telescope and Earth-observing satellites, which are in higher orbit and nearer the debris field. It may come as a surprise to you, but space junk that's out there has gotten so crowded and so bad that just orbital debris, just junk orbiting out in space, it's gotten so bad that it is now, and when I say it, I'm talking about all that orbiting trash out in space. It is now the biggest threat to a space shuttle flight, surpassing the dangers of liftoff and reentry to the atmosphere and return to Earth. It's more dangerous now to fly in space than it is to go through the launch or reentry. And that's all because of all this junk that we and all the other spacefaring nations have produced out there in space, fast becoming the garbage planet. The reason that's important, I mean, it's important just because of the dangers to the space shuttle, the dangers to the space station, the dangers to Hubble Space Telescope and other really important space-based instruments that we have out there and people that we have out there. So it's important for that reason. But it's also important because we are entering this era of private space travel, private space flight. So there will be some dangers to those adventurers who have the massive amount of money it will take to fly into space. But it also, because of the private space industry, it also opens up, doesn't it, some ingenious entrepreneur who can figure out a way to go up there and sort of vacuum space, you know, sort of scoop up all the debris. I don't know how possible or plausible that is, but I would think that anyone who has a method for doing that could probably get contracts from several space agencies all at the same time. Probably, you could get a contract from NASA, from the European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, the Indian Space Agency, the Chinese, the Russians. You could probably get a contract for, you know, you're going to go up and do this flight. You could probably get a contract from each one of them so that each one of them is chipping in. And you could literally make a financial killing by just going up and cleaning the debris that has been left by all those space agencies. There have been four other collisions in space, but they were, collisions between, they were considered minor. They were collisions between spent rocket parts, you know, that get ejected from the spacecraft, or a small satellite. And these were considered to be minor, but this one was pretty major. And I just think that the problem itself presents a huge opportunity for someone who has the ability to build a spacecraft that could go out there and just clean up junk. I don't really know how you could go about doing it, but if you could do it, you could make a lot of money. One of the questions that came to my mind, and I had to sit and think about this for a little while, and you'll probably think, oh, well, then you're not too bright. But why doesn't that stuff just fall back to Earth? Well, it doesn't fall back to Earth because it's orbiting. It's at orbital speed. And just because it gets into a collision and breaks apart doesn't mean it stops orbiting at that speed. It's still orbiting at an orbital speed sufficient to keep it in orbit. And so they have to track it. So any of you listening who are space engineers, give that some thought. We need someone to go up and clean up all the trash that we humans have now littered the area around Earth with. All right, we will go open line here tonight in a little bit, but I first want us to consider a couple of things. The first thing I want us to consider is the whole idea of traveling at the speed of light or beyond the speed of light. Now, if you have listened to this show very often, you know that I have a probably controversial position about the laws of physics. You know that I say there are no laws of physics. And I follow that up with all we have, we call them laws of physics, but they're not. All we have are descriptions of our current understanding. That's it. Descriptions of our current understanding. And that's subject to change. And you will remember, if you've been listening for some time, I did a show not too long ago where I really went into detail about this. And I talked to you about the fact that whenever we have these descriptions of our current understanding of how things work, they're absolutely guaranteed to be flawed. Because they are based on human observation. And we obviously have not observed everything that exists, and perhaps have not observed what we observed accurately. But then, assuming that the observer has observed accurately, the next thing that happens is the observer has to find a way to describe it, to express it, usually in some sort of mathematical formula. And so our current understanding that we call the laws of physics are based upon flawed human observation and based upon not perfect ability to describe what's been observed. We know that there are no actual laws of physics. Well, let me put it this way. There may be, but we don't know what they are. What we call laws of physics are simply our observations and our descriptions of our current understanding. Now, having said that, if you go back in time, we know that the current understanding at one time was the earth is flat, and that's wrong. We know that the current understanding at one point in history was that all of the stars and planets and everything was in orbit around the earth. And we now know that was wrong. But that was the current understanding and considered the law, scientific law. Then you had Newton's laws that came along. It was a great leap forward scientifically. But those were considered the laws of the motions of planets. Until this little guy named Einstein came along. And when Einstein came along, he proposed something called the general theory of relativity and the special theory of relativity. And they laughed at him. They thought he was nuts. But today, what he has proposed by many scientists is considered the law. And here's how you know. They'll say, well, we know that the speed of light is approximately 186,000 miles per second. We know that that's a constant, and we know that there's nothing faster. Now, let me read to you a little bit of an article here. This article is written by Michael Lemonick. And here it says, it would be terribly convenient to circumnavigate the Earth in a fraction of a second, to make a round trip to the sun in just over a quarter of an hour, to go to Neptune and back in a work day. Modern life is too busy to waste time getting from here to there, and flitting around at the speed of light, about 186,000 miles per second, would take a lot of the drudgery out of travel. And I have to say, it certainly would. I've traveled all over the planet. Well, not exactly. I've never been to Africa, and I've never been to China, but I've been on every continent except Africa. And, that's not true. I did take a boat ride across to Morocco one time, so from Spain, so I have been on the continent of Africa. I've done lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of traveling. And you would think, well, I must love to travel. No, I hate traveling. I love being there, but the process of getting from here to there, I hate it. I absolutely hate travel. When I get on the airplane to head over to Thailand, I go to sleep. And I sleep the whole way, except when if we're having to do a layover somewhere and catch another plane. Well, I have to wake up and get off the plane, the next plane I get on, I go back to sleep. I hate traveling. So if I could do that at the speed of light, that would be absolutely great. Well, the article continues. It says it would take a lot of the drudgery out of travel, and then it says, forget it, though. You'll never go that fast. Albert Einstein said so. His special theory of relativity had at its heart an astonishing claim. The speed of light in a vacuum is always the same for all observers. If you shine a flashlight out into space and the light goes at 186,000 miles per second, Then jump into a spaceship and chase the beam at 185,000 miles per second. It recedes from you not at 1,000 miles per second, but at 186,000 miles per second. If you head in the opposite direction at 185,000 miles per second, the light beam still moves away at 186,000 miles per second. So anyway, this I won't read the whole article, but this article says it will never happen. And it's based on the writings of Albert Einstein. It uses that as the basis. It's based on his general theory or special theory of relativity. And it talks about, you know, the faster you go, the more mass you assume. And it takes an infinite amount of energy to reach the speed of light. So I want to ask you a question. Can you imagine any possibility of a scientist ever making light go 1 nanosecond faster? 1 nanosecond. I mean, you and I cannot even measure nanoseconds. You got to have really special scientific instruments to measure a nanosecond. But can you imagine a scientist ever making light go just 1 nanosecond faster? Obviously, you can. Imagine if you could make light travel just 1 nanosecond faster. Would that be a big deal? It would be gigantic. It would be gigantic because you would have proven Einstein was wrong. You would have proven that there is, in fact, a speed faster than the speed of light. If you could just make it go 1 nanosecond faster, then you have proven there is a speed faster than the speed of light. Well, what would that do? Well, it would absolutely be devastating on the scientific world's entire understanding of space and time. It would absolutely be devastating to the scientific community. Imagine having doctorate degrees, you've written textbooks, you're giving lectures and teaching students and flunking people out of your class who dare to think outside the box over the issue of that the speed of light is a constant. And then someone comes along and speeds it up 1 nanosecond. It would blow everything you say, teach, and do right out of the water. So what do you think? You think they ever will come up with a speed faster than the speed of light? We'll find out when we come back right after this. Right, we are back, and as I said, we'll find out. Is it actually possible? Not just theoretically. Do you think it's actually possible to speed light up even 1 nanosecond? Now, I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a long, long time. Here's what I'm going to do. We're not actually into open line yet. All I'm going to take are yes or no calls. We'll do open line in a little bit. But the next few calls, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, I just want you to call. You'll tell us your name, where you're from, and yes or no, what you think, whether that's actually technologically possible, okay, to speed light up faster than its normal speed, Is that possible? All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623. And look, you know, usually on open lines, we ask you just to confine yourself or restrict yourself to one call per show. We're not going to do that relative to this request. So if you call in to tell us yes or no, you can still call back later on open line, all right? Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. That's Terry from Ohio.
Okay, Terry, yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay, thanks. You can call us later if you wish. All right. Now, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Terry from Ohio says absolutely not. Okay. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Lynn from Southern California.
Hi, Lynn.
Definitely say yes.
You'll say yes. Okay, by the way, good to hear from you again.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, 623-444-5889. Caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Rick from Kentucky.
What do you say, Rick, yes or no?
No today, yes tomorrow.
Okay. I'm going to mark. How do you want me to mark it? No or yes?
Yes.
Okay, we'll mark it as a yes. All right. 623-444-5889. What do you think? Is it possible for us to speed light up even a nanosecond faster than the speed of light? Caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
623-444-5889.
Hello, caller. Okay, 623-444-5889. What do you think, yes or no? I've got two yeses. I've got one no. Can we speed light up faster than the speed of light? Is it technologically possible? All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. First name and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Okay, Brent, what do you say, yes or no?
I think some guys from Canada have already done it.
So are you saying yes or no?
Yes.
You're saying yes. Okay. And we'll take one more call. 623-444-5889. Can we, technologically, can it be done? Can we speed light up faster than the speed of light? All right, caller, your first name, where are you calling from?
Larry from Illinois.
Hi, Larry. Can we do it?
Hi,
yes or no?
Yes, I believe it's very possible.
Okay. I thank you, sir. All right, we'll do open line here in a little bit. This actually kind of plays into what I want to bring up next, and then we'll open the lines. We have four yeses, one no, and the no was absolutely no. If I kept this going, I think the ratio would stay about the same, but the yeses are right. In fact, one caller said it's already been done. That is true. The guys in Canada did it last year. But let me tell you what I found. Two scientists, August 17th, 2007, did it. Their names, Dr. Gunter Nimtz, Dr. Alphonse Stahlhofen of the University of Koblenz. And what they did is they conducted an experiment in which microwave photons, which are energetic packets of light, traveled instantaneously, not at 186,000 miles per second, but instantaneously between a pair of prisms that had been moved up to 3 feet apart. And the reason this worked is because they were not doing an experiment of traveling through time and space. They were doing an experiment called quantum tunneling. Now, I don't know enough about quantum tunneling. I got the concept, but I don't know enough about it to really understand how it works. But the point is, they did it, so it's not theory. The idea of doing quantum tunneling is no longer theory. It was done, and the speed of light was exceeded. So you see, there are no laws of physics, at least not the ones we think. When we talk about the laws of physics, those are not laws. Those are descriptions of our current understanding of how things work. If you can make these photons travel instantaneously, not just fast, but instantaneously, can you see by doing quantum tunneling, it went from here to there instantly? Can you see how, if you could do that on a macro scale, a spaceship could go from this side of the universe to that side of the universe almost instantaneously, just like that? Now let me ask you a question. Before I read that article to you, or gave you that information, it was done back in 2007. It's already been done. It's not a theory, it's not a question, it's already been done. There is a speed faster than the speed of light, and physicists who tell you that the speed of light is the fastest speed that exists are way behind the curve, way behind the times, and they're not telling you accurate information. It's already been done. Now, let's say you did not know that. Well, it still had been done, right? Your world, your information just changed, but your world didn't change, did it? Because here it is, 2009, in August 17th, 2009, that experiment is 2 years old. So you've been living all this time since that experiment in a world and a universe that knows for sure that there are speeds faster than the speed of light. You didn't know it, but it happened. Your world didn't change, did it? You just went on and life was the same and everything was, I mean, you know. And now, if you did not know this information, now you know it. The world didn't change. Everything that happened today happened. Everything that's going to happen tomorrow is going to happen. Your world didn't, nothing changed. So, I want to talk about the prospect of disclosure concerning UFOs and extraterrestrials. I had a conversation today, a long and deep conversation with our producer, Bob. I showed you his picture earlier, and he just walked through the studio here just a minute ago. I said, let me turn the camera around, and he ran. I've never seen anything like that. He's absolutely camera shy. But that was during the break. But here's the deal. The deal is, it is possible. I'm not saying that it is a fact. It is possible that there have been actual contacts between extraterrestrial races and the government. Not just the government of my country, but the government of several countries, maybe all countries, I don't know. But let's say that there has been contact. Let's say that all the major governments really know that there are extraterrestrial, intelligent civilizations and that they visit the Earth. Let's just hypothetically say that. If you were told tomorrow, if they come out, let's say tomorrow morning, President Obama steps to the microphone and the cameras light up And he addresses not just the American people, but the world. And he says, it's true. UFOs are real. People who say they have seen them are not loony. The media, who has been ridiculing them and making fun of them, are loony. And we have diplomatic relations with two or three of these civilizations. Let's say that were to happen. Now, obviously, if that announcement were made, it means that the diplomatic relations, the contact, the diplomatic relations, that dates back many years in order to get it to the point where they have actual diplomatic relations. That means that it goes back maybe 40, 50, 60 years, maybe further. That means that all of your life you have lived in a world where there is ET contact. All of your life you have lived in a world, if that scenario were true, you will have lived in a world where your government knows that UFOs are real and extraterrestrial intelligent beings exist and have actually carried on diplomatic relations with them. You didn't know it. How would your world really change if you were to know it tomorrow? That's what I want us to talk about tonight. Now, we're not going to open the phone lines yet. I'm going to open the phone lines after this next break. Think about that. If, what you know, when we say disclosure, we all have kind of our own ideas about what disclosure would mean. How would your world actually change if the government were to come out and say UFOs are real, extraterrestrial intelligent civilizations exist, we do have contact with them? All of that will have already been true for your entire life. Your entire life that you've lived up till this point, all of that will have already been true. You just didn't know it. So if disclosure were to happen tomorrow, something along the lines that I've described, how would life on this planet actually change? Do you think it would dramatically change, or do you think things would just kind of go on and just be what they are? We'll open the phone lines when we come back. I want to know what you think about that. I think that's a serious topic for us to be thinking about this year. We'll be back right after this. I use the example of breaking the speed of light. Is there a speed faster than the speed of light? The answer to that is yes. It has been done. It's not theoretical. It has been done. Some of you knew that, and some of you didn't know that. But your world was the same whether you knew it or didn't know it. All the same things happened to you that would have happened to you if you did know it. And applying that concept to disclosure, how does the world really change if there's disclosure, full disclosure? How does it really change? Now, you may think, well, now, you know, that's kind of a dumb topic. It really is not a dumb topic. I guarantee you it is one that those who are in the government who are thinking about the possibility of disclosure, those are questions they are asking themselves. What's this going to do to society? What's this going to do to our culture? What is this going to do to our economy? What is this going to do to our system of government? All of those things have to be considered, and it's not a dumb question. So I'd like to know what you think, all right? I'm not asking you, do you think we ought to have disclosure or do you think we're going to get disclosure? I want you to think about this. How does the world change if President Obama comes on television tomorrow and does disclosure? How does our world really change? Does it? Or does everything pretty much go on as it was? Telephones are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. And I'm truly interested in what you think about this. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Lynn again from Southern California.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I think the public might force the government to have more transparency on the back engineering projects so that maybe we could get out of some of this energy crisis we're in.
Okay, so if the president goes on television tomorrow and says, okay, folks, today's the day, yep, they're real, and we've known it for a long time, you think that the world would change because the American people would demand more transparency of the government related to alternative energy possibilities?
Yes.
Do you think that would be a positive change?
Yes.
Do you think that this would that disclosure would be disruptive to our society?
Yeah, I think all change is disruptive in a way, but the fact that we have so many technologies that are hidden from us at this time, I don't think that's good. I think we should start using the technologies for the betterment of society.
Some of those technologies, it's absolutely certain that some of those technologies would be weaponized. You know, atomic energy is one of the, these days, if it's done right, one of the safest, cleanest ways to generate electricity. The old problem of what do you do with the spent fuel rods is not really a problem anymore. They know how to deactivate them. So that's a wonderful thing, atomic energy, except some really smart guys figured out how to make it blow up, and it became, it was weaponized. It became horrific bombs. So what do you think could be the possibility in that direction with some of this new alternative technology?
I don't think it would change much because I believe we already have that technology available to us.
Okay, I see.
For evil or good.
I see. Okay, so what you're saying is we've already got it. You and I just don't know the facts about it.
Correct.
Ah, okay. Thanks for the call, Lynn.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, folks, well, that's quite possible. I was reading last night some information published on the Internet by the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command and found out some things that they're not hiding it. They published it right out there that were pretty, pretty interesting that I didn't know we already had, but they talk about it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Tim from Rogers, Arkansas.
Okay, you said Jim?
Yeah, Tim from Rogers, Arkansas.
Okay, Tim, what do you think? If the president goes on TV tomorrow, does disclosure, how does the world for us change?
Well, the world will change in many ways. First of all, it puts America back in the forefront of scientific technology, okay, with all kinds of new ideals and products, electronics, and information technologies, data technologies, electrical technologies, and creates new jobs, therefore more revenue, and also what it has a tendency to do is it changes people spiritually, because people become aware of more of what they're capable, because as they see these technologies unfold, I'm sure a lot of these people have had these ideals in their own head, and it just reconfirms their own intuitions. So it's actually for the best, this disclosure. It may be disruptive at first, because there may be a lot of, you know, people, like you were talking, the military and weapons, that, you know, their feathers might get ruffled. But as far as the private sector, it'll just make the whole thing take off.
So you think that, okay, let me set this up quickly.
Sure.
Let's say for the past 50 years, there's been contact between extraterrestrial, intelligent extraterrestrial civilizations and our government. That's hypothetical. I'm not saying it's a case. I'm saying hypothetically, let's say that's the case.
Correct.
So you and I have lived our whole lives under that umbrella and just didn't know it.
Correct.
And simply by coming out and saying, yeah, that's true, folks, it would change our world.
Absolutely, because for one, people would reaffirm their intuitions, and by reaffirming their intuitions, people will grow spiritually, and just by the spiritual growth alone, mankind is surely to rise up, because that is more likely the next process in mankind's evolution is a spiritual growth, awakening, that is connected with science.
Okay, fair enough. Man, thanks for the call.
No problem. Thank you, sir.
All right. What do you think, folks? 623-444-5889. I don't know. You know, we talked about this. I was saying Bob Brady, our producer, and I talked about this today. And before the show, I was saying I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. But you have, both callers so far have brought up some points I really had not considered about how it really could impact us. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
It's Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hi, Mike.
How are you tonight?
Outstanding, sir.
Well, the only thing it would do would be change the minds of some of the people that we've been trying to change the minds to start with. It wouldn't change the fact that there's war between religious sects. It wouldn't change the fact that there's poor people, starving people. It would just change, you know, some of the minds. But there would still be those people who would say, nah, it's not possible. It's the devil. It's the demon. Just like the same ones say, we still haven't landed on the moon.
So you're kind of going both ways. You're if I understand correctly, what you're saying is, for most people, there'd be no big change. But for some people, there would be.
Yes.
Do you think it would be disruptive to our society?
Sure, for a little bit. You can just look at day-to-day life and see that if something unexpected to the masses happens, there's always this small segment that jumps up and starts panicking over it.
Yeah, but, you know, I think if, again, in the hypothetical sort of scenario that I set up, the president goes in front of the cameras and he says, folks, this has been going on now for the past 50 years. And, you know, we have good relations with these civilizations and have had now for the past 50 years. And, you know, I'm not sure that that would be so disruptive. Do you want to hang on through the break, or does that about do it for you?
I'll free it up so somebody else.
All right. Thanks for the call, man.
All right.
We'll be back, folks, right after this break. All right, we are back, and the question under consideration this evening is how, if at all, would disclosure actually change the world around us? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Trey in Louisiana.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, Kevin. How it would change the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be tough for them to come out and say that they've known it for a long time because, I know the press probably wouldn't ask very good questions. I think that would be funny to hear them the questions they would ask, but the ultimate question would be, well, what about all these abductees? Are all these abductees telling the truth? Or, you know, if aliens are real and y'all have known about them, you know, what's the deal with the abductions? That would be the one of the hardest questions to answer, I believe, don't you think?
I think that would be tough to answer. I don't think the press is going to ask, I don't think the media is going to ask any cogent questions. Because the question I have for the media is, where have you guys been? Why has the media spent the last 50 years ridiculing people and ruining reputations over something that's absolutely real? If that scenario played out and there was disclosure, the question would have to be, what does the media have to say about the lives they ruined and careers they ruined? So I don't think they're going to get into that.
No, you got a good point, Kevin. I don't think they're going to even, you know, think back at all about any lives they've ruined. That's ridiculous that they would even think about that. But for us to depend on them to ask serious questions, first to actually find out information, I think will be a dead-end road. So I think you could actually have disclosure. President could come out and do a spiel, and then, you know, the media would ask, you know, stupid, irrelevant, you know, bonehead questions, and then we wouldn't learn anything, and that would be the end of it until, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and, you know, if they did.
Except from a press conference, and, you know, I guess, you know, news shows will cover it more, and political talk shows will probably cover it more if that were to happen, but I don't know how much more you're going to learn.
Well, if the media did try to give the president a tough time, my advice as being, you know, part in a way part of the media, my advice to the president would be to just lean on the podium and say, well, there's this scientist, there's that researcher, there's this UFO investigator, and just name a bunch of them and say, they've been telling you for the last 50 years, and you've been ridiculing them. You know, they tried to tell you, and you wouldn't pay any attention, so I think it's you guys who owe the American people an explanation and an apology.
And the thing about it, Kevin, what it boils down to is that press conference wouldn't be for me or any other listener of this show, regular listener, or it would be for the people who are ignorant and don't know anything. And so the reporters would not be, they would be too ignorant compared to me to even ask, think of a good question to ask, probably because they've never been curious to begin with and done any kind of research into it. So it would be, compared to the Kevin Smith audience, the questions would be kindergarten level. So yeah, it would just be fun to listen to some of those bonehead questions. I'm telling you, they would be some doozies. To people like us, it would be funny, I believe.
Yeah, you know, you may have heard the show, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, and I mentioned watching Nick Pope be interviewed on Fox News. And it's a guy and there's a female, you know, there's two anchors there on the show. And whenever Nick Pope got through speaking, she said, wow, Nick Pope, what is this guy? He's a ex-government official with the British Ministry of Defense UFO Investigations Unit. And then she said, who knew there was one? My comment on the show was, everyone except mass media, my dear.
Yeah, that's true, and the people who depend on them. But you just have to have the interest in the subject, and if you've never had a personal interest in the subject, you're just going to be ignorant because you're not going to learn it from anywhere else.
Well, that's true, but the media is supposed to be interested in everything that's going on in our society, and they're supposed to report on it. They don't. They edit. In this country, in this country, United States of America, what we normally get is editorials dressed up as if they are reports. And an editorial is not a report, it's an opinion. But they don't give us the straight reports very often. We get editorials as if they were reports.
That's true, but they've pretty much, and I don't know, I mean, it's kind of depressing to think about it, because you would think one of the beginnings of a failed or doomed society would be the loss of information, and you're depending on the press to give you factual information and relevant information, and you as a people don't get it. And to me, that would be, you know, be the beginning of one of the signs of, you know, maybe the end of a certain kind of structured civilization, and who knows, maybe the beginning of another one.
Look, Trey, it is. You're exactly right. The thing that's kept us going is the Internet, and when I say us, I mean this country. And the Internet makes it possible for me to go out and get the news from BBC. I can get it from Deutsche Welle, their English version. I can get it from any place on Earth. Almost every news agency on the planet has an English version. And you understand that some places you go are going to be slanted, but some of them give it to you straight. And they just do straight reporting and say, here it is, this is it. And you don't get opinion. They just give you the facts, and that's the report. And so you can go outside the United States while you sit right in your home, and you can get the news about what's really going on here.
Well, Kevin, I got a good idea before I go let someone else call. Is we could have like a drive-through UFO information store, kind of like a McDonald's, and you pull up to it, and you say, yeah, I'd like to know about the crash at Roswell and, you know, the Kecksburg. And then, okay, pull around, sir, and you go around and, you know, here's the information, here's the name of the officers, and here's your paperwork, take it away and learn about it. But if somebody doesn't spoon-feed people the information, it's just the mass number of people aren't ever going to find out about any of this stuff, you know, no matter how credible the witnesses are, you know.
Unfortunately, I think you're correct.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
Thanks for the call. What do you think if the president steps to the microphone tomorrow and does disclosure? I'm not saying he will. This is all hypothetical. It's just a scenario. But if he did, how would the world around us actually change? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Rick from Kentucky again.
Hi, Rick.
I don't think it would change that much. I'm going to be real disappointed that they kept it secret all those years. I think a lot of people's biggest concern is the religious community, but I think the religious community will accept it.
Well, yeah, I think most will. There will always be a few who say, you know, I don't care what you show me. I know what I believe. I don't care.
Yes.
You know, don't confuse me with the facts. There are always some of those.
Yeah.
But not just the religious community. To be fair, that's true in the scientific community, and that's why you still have scientists saying, even today, that there is no speed faster than the speed of light, when in fact it's been absolutely proven there is.
What you stated earlier about that was really mind-boggling for me. When you start thinking about the speed of light, and those scientists being able to instantaneously, a speed that's instantaneously, if you, in your mind, if you start thinking how much speed is there between light speed and instantaneous, that can boggle the mind. It can be extremely faster.
Now let me boggle your mind a little bit more. I don't think the difference is speed. I think the difference, it's a different, whole different state of matter.
Yeah.
And because you're moving into quantum physics and quantum tunneling, but the effect of it is it exceeds the speed of light.
And that's opening the door for time travel.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, we may get into that. You know, if one, that article, if I had read the whole article to you, brings that up, it says, now that brings up some interesting consequences, because if you travel, if it were possible to travel using quantum tunneling, an astronaut could leave one place and arrive at his destination before he left.
Yes.
But actually, that's not quite true. He would arrive at the same instant he left.
Yeah. It's mind-boggling.
It is. Hey, thanks for the call.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thank
you. All right. What do you think, folks? Pretty exciting, isn't it, just to think of the possibility. I mean, even though it's totally hypothetical, and it's just a scenario that we're operating with here, it's kind of fun to think about. What if the president were to step to the cameras and do full disclosure? The telephone number is 623-444-5889, and we're interested. I am interested, really deeply interested, in how do you think that would actually change the world around us, if, in fact, it would change the world around us. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
How you doing, Kevin? This is Don, calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
Yeah, I was listening to your first two callers, and I agree with them, and I'm pretty much my philosophy how it would change the world, too. Excuse me?
I said nothing.
Oh, I got a lot of feedback here.
Okay.
I see a lot of spiritual growth going on within society. I think we need to kickstart our spiritual growth, and I think once people realize that there are more than us just out there, I think it's a starting point, like you say, religions, there's going to be a lot of denial and disruption. But that's with any change in the world. And as time goes on, we are going to spiritually grow. And as far as military gaining some of this knowledge for weapons, well, if we've been in communication with these groups for a long time, I think military, if anybody has firsthand knowledge of it and already developed weapons, if they're going to develop weapons.
Okay, so you don't think that would actually change much?
It would change much for us. I do. I think there would be.
Well, you just said the military's already got weapons, so I just said you think that would not change much.
Oh no, not that part of it. No, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. Plus, I get a lot of feedback.
Well, do you think that life would change around us? I mean, let's say 9 o'clock in the morning. Local time, whatever people's local time is. 9 o'clock in the morning, the president's on television, and he does disclosure. And he says it's real. And we've had contact with them now for 40 years or 50 years. We have diplomatic relations with them. And there's not anything for anybody to be afraid of. The press conference is over. You turn your TV off. And you start to go about your daily business, would your daily business be different?
And only the respect is going to be the talk of the day and the talk of the week and probably the talk of the year is going to, for once and for all, is going to outweigh the Britney Spears story. And
oh, please, let's do this then.
I think things take time to change and develop, and we need more information as we go along. By the president announcing it tomorrow that we have been in contact, it's not going to change anything until people are able to get more answers. And the more answers that come along, then the more we will be able to utilize those answers, like far as the technology goes and everything.
Okay. All right. Well, Don, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Okay, Kevin. Take care.
You bet. I can see how there might be some changes, I guess. For instance, Lynn, I believe it was, from California, who said that that she thought that it would cause the public to demand more transparency from the government about alternative energy sources that they may have already developed from back engineering extraterrestrial technology, or perhaps it was shared with them by extraterrestrials, and the public would demand more transparency, and let's get this stuff out there to help people. I could see that might be the case. I'm not really sure that life would change all that much suddenly. Now, I do think it would change rather dramatically over, a 10-year period. I think so. Because once disclosure actually happens, I think we would expect to see some of these things that we call UFOs now, spaceships. I think that we could expect to see them more commonly landing, perhaps at airports. I think we would be able, after disclosure, I think over a 10-year period, we would increasingly have seen, either with our own eyes or on television, some extraterrestrials. And I think that will change us. I'm not really sure that there would be any kind of real sudden change, though. But what do you think? If the president were to make full disclosure tomorrow, how would this change your world? How would this change your life? I do think, Don said it would be the talk of the day. I think it was Don that said that. It would be the talk of the day, the talk of the week, the talk perhaps of the year. But I don't think, for average people, just, like you and me, just going about our daily lives, I don't think there's going to be that much change. As I said, the speed of light was exceeded. August the 17th, 2007, is when the report came out. 2007! The speed of light was exceeded. That means that it turned our understanding upside down, our understanding of space-time. It turned it upside down. It proved that this idea that the speed of light is a constant and that it is the fastest speed that exists, it proved that was wrong. But before you knew about that, you just went on and lived your life, even though it was done. And I kind of think that's how it will happen. I sort of think people are just going to, they'll talk about it. And, I guarantee you this, though. I guarantee you if the president comes out and makes disclosure at any point, whether it's this president or the next one or the next one, he comes out and makes full disclosure, at any point, I guarantee you there will not be any of the media writing articles about how loony he is. Now, as an example, sort of an anti-example, during this last presidential campaign, one of the politicians, Dennis Kucinich, who was running for president, word got out that he had seen a UFO while he was visiting at Shirley MacLaine's house. The press got all over that. People, in the press wanted to chuckle about it and make light of it and make fun of him. You know what? If you see something in the sky, you didn't put it there. It's the press who proved themselves to be idiots. It wasn't, I'm not a Dennis Kucinich supporter, but I'm definitely not a mass media, major media supporter either in its current state of disrepair. But it's the media guys that prove themselves to be idiots. I mean, what do you think, Kucinich put this thing in the air? If it's there, it's there. You don't plan to see it, but there it is. And they made such a big deal out of this and ridiculed him. I guarantee you, if President Obama steps to the microphone at any point during this presidency and makes full disclosure, there'll be none of that aimed at the president. Because once full disclosure comes, and it comes from someone that powerful and that high up, once it happens, the press is going to be running for cover. Because now you, me, and everybody on this planet is going to be asking, what's the matter with you guys? What's the deal that you couldn't report on this and make it serious and tell us the truth all these years? You guys are the one that brought us the lies. What's the matter with you? I think that will happen. I think the only real major upset in society is going to be among the press. Well, maybe some scientists, too. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good. How do you think life would change, Chris, if disclosure happened tomorrow?
I think my personal opinion, I think it would change more as far as spiritual beliefs would go. I think it would force a lot of people maybe to question where their faith might have lied. I don't mean lied as in lied to, but I mean, you know, where it lay.
Yeah, what it was based on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think technologically and socially, I don't think it would really change a whole lot, because if we're using it, we're using it now, and if we're not, then we're not. But I do think spiritually and through religious means it would affect a lot of people, I think.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be devastating on churchianity.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful word. I love it.
Yeah. Because churchianity, any flavor of it, is built upon human constructs. It's not built upon the book they say it's built on. It's built on human opinion. And, it's going to be devastating on churchianity. You might see some multi-million-dollar mega ministries go under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So it could have an effect there. Would it rock your world?
Personally, I don't think it would. You know, there's a lot of things that I hold credence to, and things that I know for myself that I've seen, and I think that would solidify perhaps my thoughts on those things, but I don't think it would change me drastically. I think it would change the environment around me, which would scare me.
Yeah, I don't think we would notice much change in our society, culture, etc., immediately. But I do think over a period of 10 years or so, we would be able to look back and say, wow, things have really changed.
Yeah, and I've always thought that was so interesting, you know, back when we go to the supposed UN meetings about the Vatican getting involved, and then the Vatican coming out and stating that it was okay to believe, you know, that they would be our space brothers if they did exist. I think that was definitely a way of the church kind of softening the blow a little bit.
Yeah, sort of getting ready for the day.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, thanks for the call, man. We're into a break. I got to run.
All right, sir. Yeah, good one.
Thank you. All right, we'll continue when we come back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let me remind you very quickly, we will continue taking calls, but let me remind you very, very quickly. The music you hear on this show comes from independent artists, and you can find that music at garageband.com or at music.podshow.com. Great artists, great music, and you can go over there and listen to it all for free. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. Louis from Connecticut.
Hi, Louis.
Yes, I will be astonished if President Obama came on the TV and said about disclosure.
Yeah.
And if he really wanted to rock the world boat, he can say, it's true because he's one.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you think he is extraterrestrial?
Right.
Why do you think that, Louis?
Yeah. Say, for instance, then the news media wouldn't have anything to talk about. All he has to say is that he's extraterrestrial.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That if he were to say that, it would just stop all the speculation.
Right.
Yeah, well, maybe. But now let me ask you, do you think he is extraterrestrial?
You never know, Kevin. You never know.
That's true. You don't know for sure. But, Louis, I would have to say that would be one I can't buy. I don't think he is.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that would rock everybody's boat.
Well, yeah, it would rock everybody's boat. But now what if President Obama steps to the microphones, the cameras light up, he does his disclosure speech, he says we do have diplomatic relations with these civilizations, and I want to introduce to you my esteemed colleague from some planet. Here is Ambassador whoever, and he introduces an extraterrestrial that is very obviously not from this planet. Now, what do you think would happen then?
The news media men would run out of the meeting.
I think they'd have to go out of business.
Right.
I really do. I mean, what they have done, what the American news media has done with the topic of UFOs is they have thoroughly, fully, completely, and irreparably discredited themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They really have.
And I think a lot of Sunday schools will go out of business, too.
Well, some of them should.
Oh, yeah.
Not all, but some of them should. The ones involved in churchianity, yep, they're gone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what's happening.
All right. Louis, thanks for the call. All right, what about your call all across the land? In fact, around the world, that telephone number works. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Let me read a flash message from Australia. This one is, well, let me scroll up here. This one is from Phil in Australia. It says, "Hi, Kevin. It will absolutely change our lives because of fear generated by those around us who are suffering from Kevin Smith Show disconnectivitis. It will create potential chaos because of reaction before thought." Yeah, it might. It might. I think it all depends, Phil, on, you know, if they did some, for instance, if they went on television maybe for 2 or 3 hours before the president was to speak, and they were to start announcing that the White House has announced that President Obama is going to speak to the nation. He says this is a very important, in fact, a very critical announcement that he is going to make. And if they went on the air with that announcement 2 or 3 hours ahead of time, you'd have most of the world watching. And if they did that, I'm not sure there would be such chaos, because most people would get it straight then. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
The mainstream media and UFOs, should the president come out with the fact that these things exist, that we've been visited, is that...
Well, how would it change your world?
How would it change my world?
Yeah.
I would say it's about time, but I don't see that ever happening.
Yeah, but if it did, let's just say that you get up tomorrow and it happens. How does that change your world?
How would it change my world? I would go to all the ones that called me a nut, and I'd tell them, hey, I hate to say I told you so, but, you know, I told you so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think it will ever see that day, unfortunately, because this whole New World Order agenda thing, it's all about control of information, using keeping us ignorant to be able to control us even more. And what better information, you know, than have they kept concealed than the fact that there's alien life that truly is out there? Because, you know, a lot of the intellectual mudsuckers that are out there, they need official, quote-unquote official declaration that things exist for things to truly exist in their minds. And unfortunately for these people, they're never going to get it in a quote-unquote official declaration that aliens exist or anything. That's just my opinion on that.
Well, I'm not so sure about that, because there is already an official U.S. government document that says UFOs are real.
Yeah.
And it's called Project Blue Book. They have what most people know about Project Blue Book is what the idiot press gives them, and they only give them the ones that were explained away. They don't give them the 4,000 or so that could not be explained away. And when you can't explain it away and you say we have no explanation for that, you just said that is a UFO. And, you know, so that Project Blue Book is literally pregnant with proof that UFOs are real.
Well, the thing with it's I'm just saying that I don't think we'll ever see any, like, president or prime minister. Well, we might see, but the president of the United States, I don't ever see coming out that's flat out saying that aliens exist. I think we'd have.
Yeah, but see, that's not the question. The question is, if it happens, how does it change our world?
How does it change our world? I think a lot of people have been prepared for it. I don't think there'd be much change. I think people are going to say, you know, it's about time that that governments come clean about this, you know, that, because I think people have been conditioned in ways to accept the fact that aliens exist, I think through a lot of the fiction out there, and even through some of our efforts also, because our paranormal and UFO-based radio has been around for quite some time now. And people have been exposed to it, and I think that
okay, so you don't see that there's going to be any great change?
Not in the Western world, no. I think the Western world is pretty much open to the fact of alien contact. There could be some religious institutions that might object to it, but I think even they would they'd eventually have to accept the reality of it, because, you know, hey, you know, who are they to say that God didn't create life elsewhere, you know? I think they're gonna. They finally accept that.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Have a good one.
623-444-5889 is the telephone number. 623-444-5889. And the question, I think it's a question that we really need seriously to consider, because you can believe this. Those who are in government and who are thinking about the possibility of disclosure have to think about the question we're considering tonight. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hi.
Yes, your first name and from where are you calling?
My name's John and I'm calling from the Poconos.
All right, John. Are you a first-time caller?
No, I called about a month ago.
Okay, John. How do you think the world would change?
I think that there probably would be a trigger for bringing in the New World Order, because the powers that be would be jostled all around. There's a lot more people with money out there that would jump on a bandwagon and get out there. All the powers that be that are in control, they would be exposed, and everybody would be demanding information, like from Pine Gap in Australia, out in Nevada, up in Russia, China. You'd have everybody, like, who's that guy Fawcett that was going around the world? There's plenty of people with money that jump up there. They'd have to regulate everything. They'd have to bring in, they'd have to control the place. You'd get a regime change at the top end like no tomorrow.
I'm not sure. You know, let me throw this at you. The so-called powers that be have to be aware of the fact that the public has already outrun their spin machine and no longer buys the spin about UFOs and about extraterrestrials. Well, nobody buys the spin anymore. And they found that out when they tried that nonsensical story about the Stephenville UFO sighting. And, you know, it just didn't work. And it's not going to work anymore. It doesn't work, won't work, it's over. Now, the powers that be have to know that. And that means that the bandwagon, they can either run around and get in front of this thing, or it can run them over. So they can lead the bandwagon or get run over by it. I think they're going to run around in front of it. I think they're going to lead it. I think we will get disclosure. I don't think we're going to get full and complete disclosure, but I think we're going to get disclosure.
Oh, I think we will. I mean, that's just about basically inevitable. But the way it goes about doing it is how tightly the powers that be are still in control. There's going to be power change.
Well, there might be. Yeah,
is going to come in.
There very well could be.
You know, free enterprise will come in there, and it's going to just jostle everything up. It's going to open up new jobs. I mean, you got countries that it's going to change the economy around. They're going to have to disclose. They aren't going to be able to hide a black budget anymore on all that the space program that's already in place.
Well, I don't know about that. I think our government and every government is very capable of having black projects and black budgets, and no matter what comes down the pike, those are going to exist. Hey, listen, thanks for the call.
All right.
623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. As I said, the question we're talking about here tonight is a question that's a serious question, and it's a question that the people who have to make the decision about whether there is going to be disclosure or not, and then have to make the decision if they say, okay, we're going to disclose, they have to also then decide what they're going to disclose, how much of it, and what we're talking about here tonight, that's something that they have to consider. They have to consider the possible consequences and possible ramifications of disclosure. But I think, and I could be wrong about this, I think they're faced with the inevitability of it, because I think they know the public has outrun the spin. We'll be back right after this. Final approach. We just have a few minutes left, but I'll take your calls as we come in for final approach. You do not have to put your seat in the upright position and make sure your tray is put away and turn off all electrical appliances. You can still call. You know, what I'm trying to do is sort of get a feel. Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that you've heard all your life is two heads are better than one. It's better for two people to think about something than it is for just one person to think about it. And that's what we're doing here this evening. We are putting our heads together. It has been my opinion, and that in this country, I don't think life would change much. It has also been my opinion that there could be real chaos in some places around the world if disclosure were to take place. And I still have that opinion. I don't think, personally, that life really would change all that much immediately here in this country, except I think there would be, for a lot of the people who are sort of skeptolunatics, I think there would be sort of that, oh, wow, gee whiz, good golly, Miss Molly. Who knew? I think there would be some of that. But, that, yeah, I mean, that's just sort of the odor that comes off of stupidity. And but I don't think there would be massive change in our lives on a day-to-day basis. Not immediately. However, there would be... I'll tell you what I think it would be like. I think it will be like when the first personal computers, first home computers came out. Remember, there was, I think, Commodore, and then there was Amigas. Well, I think the Amiga is put out by the Commodore company. But, you know, and remember when those first came out, and you know, there was... Nobody was using floppy disk drives yet. You had to put a cassette tape with the operating system in a cassette player, and it was hooked to the computer, and that booted up the computer. Remember that? But look how life has changed from those days till today. We can look back on it and say, wow, man, that was those introduction of those very primitive, almost powerless computers. Look how life has changed since then. I think that's kind of how this will happen. I think, you know, there'll be a lot of interest. And look, when Commodores first came out with their computers, people were getting them. They thought that was just the most space-age high-tech stuff. If you had one of those, you were the elite. I remember my first computer was an Apple IIe, and it was almost powerless compared to what we have now, compared to what's sitting on this desk. So I think it'll be sort of like that. I think there'll be a lot of, oh, wow, gee whiz, good golly, Miss Molly. But it's not going to rattle the cage for most Americans, Canadians, Europeans, Australians. And I look, I shouldn't have even started the list because there are some of you who are going to feel that I left you out and that I think you're primitive. That's not the case. I just, first, can't think of more countries, and second, I don't have time. But look, in places where we're already used to high-tech stuff, I don't think that it's really going to rattle the cage much. For churchianity, it will be over. That doesn't mean that for Christianity it'll be over, or for real Judaism, or for Islam, but for those who have built a construct of religion based on human opinions, it's over once disclosure happens. And so it's going to rattle that cage a bit. For those who are heavily into the petrochemical businesses, there's going to be a heavy reduction in the use of petrochemicals once space age, truly space age technology, goes online producing energy for us. Was it disruptive when the automobile first came into existence? Yeah, it put a lot of buggy whip makers out of business. It put wagon wheel makers out of business eventually, most of them. When guns first were introduced, was it disruptive? Well, yeah, it put most sword makers out of business. So, yeah, there will be changes, but I don't think they will be immediate changes. I think it will be gradual, like what we've seen with computers. And, I mean, now we use words that didn't even exist in 1975. Input, output, data backup. I mean, we understand those now. That's just everyday phraseology, everyday vocabulary. But those words didn't even exist in 1975. Garbage in, garbage out, didn't exist. All of that came as a result of computers, and as a result of computers coming to your home. And over time, the world has changed dramatically because of computers. Look, in 1980, there was no internet. There were computer bulletin board services, but there was no internet. People used to call up the local computer bulletin board service with their modems, and they would go into forums and do things in that bulletin board service in a very minuscule, microscopic way compared to what we do on the internet today. But it was similar, just microscopic. But they didn't know it was microscopic. They didn't know anything else. And I think that is kind of what we're facing if disclosure were to take place tomorrow. Here's the thing. You don't know that it won't. Some people say, I don't believe it ever will happen. We've had several people say that tonight. And that may be true, but I think it will. I think disclosure will happen. I'm not someone who says I think it's just around the corner. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I do think the powers that be, I hate using that phrase because who is that? Let me be specific. I think the government in all of its agencies knows for sure that the public has outrun the nonsense. I think they know for sure that the public is way ahead of the spin on UFOs and extraterrestrials. And the public isn't buying it anymore. They're not, the public isn't just laying down and saying, no, okay, I guess it was swamp gas. Not going to happen ever again. Those days are gone. And I think the government and all of its agencies, including the Pentagon, all the intelligence agencies, every level of our military, I think they all know that the public has outrun the spin. If they wish to stay in power, and they do, that's not necessarily an evil thing, is it? If they wish to stay in power, they're going to have to lead the bandwagon, or it'll run them down. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.